Welcome again to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is your host, Monk. You can find out more at my website, allbook-books.com. This little episode is called Pattern and Connected Dots in the Writing and Researching Process. So everybody's process is a bit different, but I noticed this week after recently doing the book review of Slave Laborer, a Holocaust Survivor Story, where the main character, based on a true story, describes being in a slave labor work camp and barely getting enough food. And so there are several references to just a piece of bread as a saving grace of nourishment and energy. Just a piece of bread while working all day, 7 days a week. So some days, you know, I don't know, maybe they got one meal, but at certain times the image of a piece of bread stood out. So then, sort of serendipitously, this is the kind of thing that helps me in my writing and come up with ideas and see the patterns in history and how patterns don't necessarily change or they morph, and that things in the world will not change just by time. They have to change by consciousness and a shift of behavior that comes from that. So reading this article about the Congolese workers mining for cobalt, among other things, which is an essential ingredient in lithium batteries to power the electric vehicles, and this is some of the description in the article. There was a photo, and it had one of the captions was, the worker is given just two small bread rolls and a carton of juice. And then he goes on to say, the salary is very, very small. It gives me a headache. The mine makes so much and we make so little. And this is an article at The Guardian. And he works at one of the biggest industrial mines, which is 80% owned by the Chinese company China Molybdenum, however you pronounce that. Racism reminiscent of the colonial era. And cobalt is an essential mineral for the green transition. A lot of what the greenwashing is about. And there's cobalt and copper mines in the DRC, that's Democratic Republic of Congo. And a similar story throughout history. The mining companies are benefiting a lot, not the local people. In June 2020, Tesla signed a long-term deal to source cobalt from Glencore for its new gigafactories in Berlin and Shanghai. Tesla did not respond to multiple requests for comment, but in its latest impact report, the company says it procures cobalt only from producers in the DRC that meet its responsible sourcing standards. You'd have to do more research to find out what the heck responsible sourcing standards is. Is that legitimate? Or is that, you know, just sounds good and a little bit of this? To avoid its material being, quote, contaminated by cobalt from other sources, it passes along a supply chain, yada yada. But basically, it's slave labor. Basically, it's slave labor. And then at the end of the story, the article, it says, Renault, Volvo, VW, and Daimler, the parent company of Mercedes-Benz, responded saying they recognize the importance of responsible mineral sourcing, took the allegations seriously, and would discuss the findings with their suppliers. Yeah, it's maybe promising, but it also sounds very, put off. Like, where's the caring about the guy getting a meal? Like, what about, we will immediately supply meals. We will immediately supply three-course meals to the guy who's busting his ass so people can have an electric vehicle. That's the kind of news I want to at least see some of that. So that's like that is that one connection of, again, the Holocaust era book talking about slave labor. And why I cannot read that as just a history book. And reading the news, it's kind of like one of my metaphors is it's like mining for gold, not in an extractive way, but I get the image of the pans of water and sorting through. And so I'm just, a lot of times I'm reading news, I'm reading books, I'm talking to people, and I'm looking for those gems. And when they stand out, I get them and I put them in my writing. And that's, you know, somehow my process of researching and writing as far as history and current events and what's going on in the world. And how that, what form that comes out in also depends on the muse. Typically, it comes out in an essay or a nonfiction, but sometimes it works its way into the poetry, at least the topical kind. And then another segue, which again parallels this story, the mining for cobalt, is the story of Stephen Donziger, who was the lawyer. If you haven't heard this one, it's rather astounding. He is the lawyer that actually won a court case against Chevron for the Ecuador the Ecuador oil spills, which caused horrible damage to the rivers and the water and the indigenous peoples that live right there in the forests and by the rivers and all that. So he actually won the court case, proving the malfeasance and disrespect and whatever else you call it. So for winning if you haven't heard this story, I'm dramatizing it because it's so absurd. For winning the court case, he was in house arrest in New York City in his apartment for like almost 2 years, I think. And now he's in an actual prison for, I forget, I think it's like 6 months or something. This is what happened when he won the case to protect the earth, protect the rivers, protect the original peoples, and to punish the corporate polluters. So he's like the American Assange, Assange then make it out of prison telling the truth. So Donziger is in a prison now, and in the New York City area. And already Roger Waters did a little report of his about something that Donziger wrote, and he said some of the statistics he threw out were fascinating. The U.S. has 6% world population, but 23% of the prisoners. So people talk about, is it a police state? Well, just look at those statistics. That's a police state. And then a lot of people are in prison 25 to 30 years for misdemeanors or doing nothing, compared to corporate criminals like Chevron. So obviously the system is twisted and stuff, and it's easy to get riled up. The other comparison I would make is that whereas the Holocaust, something like of that severity, is so etched in people's historical minds, and the Nazi ovens, that kind of stuff, the modern versions are often, I don't like the image because I like frogs, but the boiling frog thing where it's just a slow cook, it simmers there. So, Donziger simmers in house arrest for a couple years, and people are going to discuss whether cobalt is good or bad and blah, blah, blah. And it's all like just kind of on slow boil while the destruction of the habitat and people struggle to live. So it's less visible as a Nazis and stuff like that, but it has a certain severity. So that's a little bit of the historical topical background that just came out of reading a book and reading an article and watching a few minutes online. And so that's part of the process. Different people have different ways of approaching research and writing and what inspires you to write about or podcast or whatever the heck you're doing. Some people like to stay with a specific topic. Other times it goes in different directions, which to me is the most fun and creative part of the writing process, is while writing and while researching, especially while writing, things that get put on the page are either things I've thought about a lot, or sometimes things I did not think about. They just come out onto the page. So, like I like to say, my muse is smarter than me. It just sort of happens sometimes. So that's my little info, semi-educational, semi-ranting, semi-writing guidance for this podcast. So thank you for listening, and have a good one, and be well.